Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
What's up, family? It was a crazy game last night. It's about to be a crazier show. We got some tension to work through. This is Speak. I'm Emmanuel Lacho. Y'all know the vibes. Turn your volume up. Put your remotes down. Stay for a while. Dave Hellman, NFL insider, knowledgeable of all things. Joy Taylor and my dog, Eagles all-time rushing leader, 252 live. Now look, America, it's time to have a very uncomfortable conversation about Justin Herbert. He was tough as nails last night. He was, and I hope that he gets better very soon. He got hurt with 5 minutes left, maybe fractured a rib. But don't let that rib injury distract you from the pick six he threw with 11 minutes left in the game that cost his team the game. Don't let that rib injury distract you from the fact that Justin Herbert now has 4 pick sixes since the start of last season. Most in the NFL, do not let that rib injury distract you from all 4 of those pick sixes that Justin Herbert has thrown since the start of last season came in the fourth quarter. All 4 of those picks that came in the fourth quarter resulted in 4 losses. Do not let that rib injury distract you that the man that many are calling the most talented quarterback in the game is 16-18 as a starter. Justin Herbert is tough. Justin Herbert is talented. But Justin Herbert is also a turnover waiting to happen. So I will very simply say this. Justin Herbert, I hope that you feel better. I hope that you get better. But I too hope that your team plays better. That's what I learned about Justin Herbert, that there are levels to this. There are levels to this. But I got to come to the desk and find out, what all did you all learn? LaShawn?
Ooh, I was crossing my fingers. Come to me first. Okay, first of all, I learned that last night from watching the game, especially let's talk about the Chargers. Justin Herbert is a leader. Sure. He showed me a lot of leadership last night, right? How tough he was, how poised he was. A lot of great decisions. I'm going to say it, even with the pick six, a lot of great decisions. And I showed that he showed that he really plays for his team. Mm-hmm. They needed him.
They did.
First of all.
Not to turn the ball over. They needed him to not turn the ball over.
So your best wide receiver is not there, right, Keelan Allen? Mm-hmm. And then in the second half, because they dominate the first half. In the second half, you lose your tackle and your center.
Yep.
That's half of the offensive line, especially the starters.
Tell him, Shady.
So that's hard to win like that.
Is your whole day going to be comprised of excuses?
I'm just laying it out there for you so you really can see what really
happened. I just got to get my EpiPen. In the event, this whole day is going to be comprised of excuses.
Your center, first they pay a lot of money for, right, is your quarterback on our offensive line. And then your tackle, right, is like, he's everything to the quarterback. So, yeah, that's what I learned last night. The Chiefs got safe. They got lucky. I'm going to keep it real with you.
We'll get to that later. Joy, what did you learn?
The Chiefs did not get lucky. But what I learned about Justin Herbert is onions. He was clearly hurt, in pain. We see some injuries in football, and we're like, but they just pop right back up, nothing on your face, and, you know, there's just a different level of tough. As you guys know, I'm stubbing my toe. I'm out of work for a week. That looked like pain. You could see it in him. He bailed on a play and then still went out and threw a pass that like 3 people on earth can throw the play after that. So I learned that he is tough. I learned that he has leadership qualities that we can now see that he can step up for the team. But I still feel like they are a step away from being great. So what I learned from Justin Herbert is that we knew he was talented.
Sure.
We knew what he was capable of.
Yep.
But I learned that he was tough, which is something. He's going to play through, and he's going to be out there for his team. He has that leadership quality. It's more about the Chiefs, what happened last night, than the Chargers.
Mm. Go ahead, Dave.
Justin Herbert is that dude, man. I don't care.
What dude is that?
I don't care.
Tell him what that means.
You talk about like getting distracted. Don't let it distract you. Justin Herbert didn't let his broken or bruised ribs distract him from throwing that dart. Are you kidding me? Fourth down. We were watching the game together, in case you forgot. I was sitting there saying, pull him. Pull him, please. He doesn't need to be out there. Then fourth down. Last gasp with the opportunity to stay in the game on the line, he throws a 35-yard dart to get them down into the red zone, which Joy just said, maybe 2 or 3 people on earth can do it. Factor in the fact that Keenan Allen didn't even play in that game. Offensive line was compromised in the second half. Oh, by the way, all credit to Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs won the game, credit to them. Patrick Mahomes had two picks of his own dropped. Okay, like that. Like the winner.
We count drop picks.
The winner gets to write the story of the game.
I can't find the drop.
Winner gets to write the story of the game.
Hey, let me ask my.
Justin Herbert is the man.
Wait.
Chargers
went toe to toe. 1 second. Joy, can I ask Andy? Andy runs stats on our show. Andy, can you get me how many drop picks there were over the? Oh, we can't. He's giving me a you can't do that signal because that stat doesn't exist, America. Let's not talk about drop picks. Here's my issue I have with you, Shady. You do realize Justin Herbert, your man's.
You're nice.
He threw a 98-yard pick six. You know that's a 14-point swing in a game that was decided by 3 points. Your man's Justin Herbert, not only did he throw a pick, because not all picks are created equal, he threw an interception going the other way the fourth quarter with the game on the line, and we're just going to ignore that because what?
I'll tell you why. In the locker room, when they watch the tape today, you think they're going to yell at Justin Herbert? Because you know football, right? Right, brother?
Here he goes.
In the locker room, in the film room, they're going to yell at, who was it? The tight end? The combination route. The tight end goes to the flat, right, to take that defender out. The curl route, Justin Herbert threw it to a spot. He didn't throw it to a guy, he threw it to a spot. Something practiced over and over again. He always practiced it. Well, the tight end wanted to take a break, as you seem tired.
Calm down.
Look,
calm
he's tired. Everett, he took a break. He was tired. So his guy jumped off and took the pick. In the film room, he'll get in trouble for that. Not Justin Herbert. He threw it to a spot. And you know this, right? Okay.
We're going to address this later.
Let's go.
Joy, when you said that he showed a lot of toughness, a lot of poise, he has onions, whatever the case may be, grit, gall, all the things. But do you feel as though he did enough to win the game last night, or did he leave you wanting more?
No, he did not do enough to win the game last night. They lost the game. That's what happened, right? The Chiefs won the game.
That's what I saw.
And the Chargers lost the game.
They didn't see that, but I saw it.
That's not what I saw.
No, this is not always the case. Sometimes, to Shady's point, I don't agree with this particular situation, but to Shady's point, sometimes the quarterback did everything that they could do, and they still lost the game because the defense gave up 45 points. Mm-hmm.
That didn't
or
happen.
The receivers dropped all of the passes, or the running backs fumbled on the one-yard line. Mm-hmm. Like, everything is not that black and white. But when you are responsible, and he is responsible, he's the quarterback, I understand that the tight end messed up, but these things, that doesn't go to the tight end stat line for a reason.
It doesn't.
When Justin Herbert throws that interception and it swings 14 points and they end up losing the game in the fourth quarter,
God, dog.
You have to account for that.
She preaching.
You have to account for that.
I mean, she's telling me her opinion, but you know as well as I know, right? In situations, yo, he's throwing it to a spot.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's
so I can't blame him for that pick six.
We will address that play in its entirety here in a second. Dave, you mentioned this because we were all watching. Us three were watching the game. I invited Joy. Anyway, we'll get to that later. Anyway, us three were watching the game together at my house, eating wings, all the things. Justin Herbert gets hurt. 5 minute mark. I'm like, yo, get my man's out the game. Say what you will about Justin Herbert. It's the second game.
Get him out the game?
Yeah. Second game of the season, big dog. I'm like, get him out the game. He's hurt. You disagree.
Yeah, listen. I never really liked guys that was in the training room all the time, right? When he stayed in that game and he played with broken ribs, I think they were broke. I played with broken ribs, right? And you know that you got guys in the locker room that's depending on you, teammates, coaches. And he stays there and shows that as the quarterback, as the most, he's going to be the highest paid quarterback on his team, you know,
in the league one day, sure.
Like, it just shows you, like, yo, what type of leader we got. Now we're going to all rally behind him. If he would have came out the game, right, I'd have looked at him a little differently. Like, either he's really, really hurt or he a punk. Simple as that.
I'm glad you chose that
because,
word.
Real quick, because dudes like Tom Brady at 40-something, he's going to play through it. Aaron Rodgers is going to play through it. Josh Allen is going to play through it. And you know who will play through it?
Who that?
Patrick Mahomes is going to play through it. I witnessed it.
But here's my issue, though, Joy, because as we're literally watching the game, I was like, it's week two of the season. If his ribs are bruised, I've never broken mine, I've only bruised mine. If his ribs are bruised, I do not want them to go from bruised or partially torn cartilage to fully, completely torn cartilage. I don't want to go from a bruise to a break. I was watching when Kevin Durant went from a strained calf to a torn Achilles. We know how the body works. I was like, nearly winning this game. Because at that point, the Chargers were down by 10 with roughly 3 minutes left. Nearly winning this game is not worth losing Justin Herbert for potentially even more time. But, Joy, you think he should have stayed in.
So I was right there, not physically with you, but I, too, thought that he should have come out the game. I was watching it. I was about actually to tweet it, like, Justin Herbert should come out. And I was like, let me just see. Mm-hmm. Let me just see what happens. I like that he stayed in because in this moment, you don't know if the ribs are broken or if it's bruised.
Of course not.
Or it could be any other number of things at this point. Now we know it's a rib injury, but at this point, we just know he's hurt. We can mm-hmm. see that he is physically hurt. He's bailed on a play. Obviously, he's hurt. But this is what it is. This is the NFL, and this is a divisional game.
That's right.
You might have a chance to win this game. You've got to stay in there. And now, if you're so hurt that you
Which
physically
he was,
cannot
though.
Play.
Because remember that time, like, he
no,
wanted
he wasn't.
That throw
no,
in.
No, he wasn't. Because the next play, that's what I'm saying. We know he was hurt because he bailed on it. The next play,
dart.
So Bart. He wasn't that hurt. You have to try and win this divisional game on the road if you have an opportunity to do so. I also think that when this happened in the game also matters. If this had happened in the first quarter, then I would say take him out, evaluate it, see how bad it is, and then you can decide if it makes sense for him to go back in. But you're here now. You have an opportunity to try and possibly win this game on the road. You've got to be out there.
I appreciate that Joy waited because, like, I've got Twitter fingers.
I fired him off.
And I'm going.
I fired him off.
And I was like, he's got to get out. He has to. And honestly, I'm glad he stayed because we got to see that throw. I can't talk enough about how much I love that throw, but I would have taken him out of the game in all honesty. And I'm glad you said that, Acho, because the thing for me, he was down by 10.
Yeah.
And I know never say die. You got to compete and fight. They weren't going to win that
game.
They weren't going to win that game. And he took a shot from Frank Clark immediately after he initially got hurt.
Yeah, warrior.
Then he he just threw it into the ground when he had
what worried
he
me.
He was in so
that's,
much pain.
He's like, Shady, you know how valuable the football is. You spent your years, your life carrying a football for 11,000 yards, maybe 13,000 yards total.
15 to be exact. Just to cut you.
My dog. Correct me when I'm wrong. 15,000 yards, you carry the football. So for Justin Herbert to just completely disregard the football because of pain, I knew how much pain he was in. Here's my issue with what you're saying. We knew Herbert was a leader before the injury.
Okay.
We knew to some degree Herbert was tough before the injury. To play in the National Football League and start mm-hmm. for games, 34 consecutive now in my mind, I believe he started, to start through college at Oregon, I know you're tough.
Right.
I don't need you to prove you're tough to me by playing through an injury. Sometimes I can prove you are unintelligent. So I didn't need him to prove he was tough, big dog. I knew he was tough.
First of all, when you sign that contract to even play the sport, I'm not even talking about like the big money,
okay.
the big money, but just to sign your name. Listen, you know what you're getting yourself into.
Yep.
It's going to be pain. There's going to be games where, look, shoulder hurts, ankle hurts, rib hurts. That's part of the game. And you know what? It's another guy on that team. He probably didn't show it as much. He probably was hurt,
mm-hmm.
dealing with a shoulder back, something like that. But as a team, it's a brotherhood. If I'm out there for you, you out there for me. That's what it's all about.
Now, are you speaking from your personal experience because you played through pain before? Do we got the clips? Do we got the clip? What do we?
I broke my ribs
last time I stood up.
Yeah,
no, get closer to your own highlight,
okay.
big dog. Can we show some highlights? Yeah. I don't want to look at Herbert anymore.
Yeah, I broke my ribs against
2-5,
the Redskins. 2-5.
I'm not going to wait very much longer. I promise you I'm going to go back and sit down if I don't see it. There you go. So you got hurt on this play?
Ribs broke. Laying it down. Look, I can't move, coach. I can't do it. But they brought me back, baby. You know what I'm saying? I'm going through it. That's my boy Rick right there. You know what I mean? I gave him about $150 this game.
What was your total yards in that game?
I'm not sure.
You know this was your fifth highest yards in a game, this game right here.
You know what I mean? Me and Herbert got a lot in common, baby. Now, we lost the game? We lost, I think.
I'm going to say we won the game.
Yo, well, speaking of injuries, we got Dak Prescott, who is out, as we know, for an extended period of time with a broken thumb. He's just going to keep staring at his highlights.
Okay,
but when y'all come back, we're going to talk about the Cowboys. And is it already time to panic in Dallas? That's next on Speak.
I feel my rib right here, though, bro. You feel that?
Oh!
Yeah, I ain't going to lie to you.
Dang,
I ain't going to lie to you.
You really broke that, John.
I ain't come out the game.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Family, we all live two lives, so let's check in on our social life. I cannot show the footage of Trey Lance. It came out earlier today. He was seen at a strip club. I don't know if it was from this week or from earlier on in the season, but nonetheless, it came out today, so we're talking about it today. Benjamin Albright tweets, Trey Lance played in the rain. Now he's making it rain. Now he tweeted that over a video of Trey Lance in the club making it rain. Shady, how you feel about your starting quarterback being in a strip club on camera making it rain, and he's 0-1 to start the season?
Trey Lance money! I'll say this, man. Listen, I can't blame him. He's a young kid. Now, hear me out. If the strip club
occurred like Wednesday, I don't mind that. Hey, you had a bad game, man. Throw that away, flush that out. Let's do something else. I get that. You know what I mean? As long as he's spending some money.
Wednesday?
With the linemen?
Wednesday.
Yeah, that's what football players
do. I could have gone with you on Monday or Tuesday.
Wednesday, bro.
Wednesday is a real week of practice.
Wednesday is practice day.
You think players don't go out on Wednesdays?
Here's my problem, though, 2-5.
What are we talking about?
In the video, he was not pictured with any other teammates, so it looked like a solo trip.
Linemen were there. Strip clubs, quarterback, linemen are there. They might be in other areas, other rules. I don't know where they at, but they're going to be there.
Joy, care to comment?
I love that I have been conveniently left out of this conversation. I'm not going to indict myself.
Joy making it rain money.
Okay, a conversation that we will not leave Joy Taylor out of is a conversation going on with the Cowboys. Man, we know what's wrong with the Cowboys. Dak Prescott is out. And right now, they got Cooper Rush stepping in as their starting quarterback. A huge game on Sunday against the Bengals that also do not have a win. Ezekiel Elliott, however, Cowboys star running back, keeping hope alive. Take a listen.
I want to say it's relaxed. There's definitely some urgency, but there's definitely no panic. We know we have a great team, and we got to go through some adversity to really figure out how good of a team we are. So we're looking forward to this opportunity we have this week, which is going out this weekend, getting a win without Dak.
Joy, I'm sorry you cannot dodge this one. Should the Cowboys be panicking right now?
Should they be panicking right now? Yes. But I do like that Zeke said this. This was very quarterback-y of Zeke to say that. The panic, we know we are up against some adversity. He was honest. He wasn't, delusional about it. He wasn't trying to pitch something that wasn't real. But, he kind of did what Dak does, which is say the right thing. So I like that Zeke said that. But, yes, they should absolutely be panicking. Mm. The Cowboys went into this situation unprepared. When you have a big exam coming up, right, and you cram for it the night before as opposed to studying weeks ahead of time, even though the professor or the teacher's been telling you, and you bomb the exam, whose fault is it? It's not the professor's. It's yours. You had the opportunity to prepare for this, and you made the choice not to. Now, maybe you'll pass the test, and good for you. Will you do that every time? No, you won't. The Cowboys chose not to have a legitimate backup quarterback. They chose to put themselves in this situation. It was a choice. You can't expect me to look at the situation that the Cowboys are in. We were talking about how bad the Cowboys were going to be before the season started. And we haven't even really had a conversation about how bad they were in that game before Dak got hurt. Mm-hmm. You expect Dak to carry the team that we watched before he got hurt. Now you expect me to believe that Cooper Rush, who's on the practice squad, is supposed to go out there and do this? Even in the best case scenario of four games, it's delusional.
This quote gave me flashbacks, to be honest with you, because Zeke had to do this in 2020. Dak got hurt in week 5, 6, whatever it was, against the Giants. Zeke was the face of that offense the rest of the way. Andy Dalton had COVID. They had to use other backups. He was the guy that was there every week. And credit to him for that. And he said all the same stuff, because what else can you say? And they went 6-10. It wasn't a very good season. Mm. So I appreciate everything. It was very diplomatic.
Are you panicking?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I'm panicking, and they should be panicking. And deep down, I don't want to put words in his mouth or anybody else's, but deep down, there's probably a few guys from 2020 that are like, I didn't like the way this went last time it happened. Yeah, I would be panicking if
2-5. I were them. They shouldn't panic yet. America's team, don't panic yet. I'll say this about Cooper Rush. Give him a shot. The last year against the Vikings, he threw for a lot of yards, and he got a W. I'll say this. This is when you panic. So, first of all, our superstar quarterback, franchise quarterback, paid all this money to, he put up 3 points, right, in a loss. Before the thumb, hand, whatever that was, okay? And then if Cooper Rush comes in there and gives you 3 points, then you should panic, right? Starter didn't do good. The backup didn't do good. Now you panic.
I'm not panicking just yet, Joy. Reason being is, let me see what else is going on in the NFC East. Like, Dave, let me see what else is going on in the NFC East. Dak Prescott's record in the NFC East, what, sir?
25-6.
25-6. That's why I keep you on the show, because you will win all Dak Prescott trivia. Dak Prescott, he's 25-6 in the NFC East. The Commanders might lose this week. The Eagles, they got a huge game against the Minnesota Vikings. They might catch a L this week. The New York Giants, are they actually good or not? They might catch a L this week. As long as the Cowboys can stay within 2 to 3 games in the division, I'm not sweating just yet. You got your finger up. Why?
But that's what worries me, is like they've got to find a way to steal some games here. And this is a big game, by the way.
This is a huge game.
Pissed off Bengals team that played in the Super Bowl, probably didn't expect to lose last week. they see this as an opportunity. And I just worry if you're 0-5 or 1-6 or whatever, if you're well below 500 by the time Dak gets back, what good does it even do?
But the point about that stat, the 25-6, is with Dak Prescott as quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Dak Prescott ain't playing in these games. Mm-hmm. And you have two division games within the window that we know Dak is going to be out. In some fantasy world, he's going to be back for the L.A. Rams and be 100%, right? So in between that time, you have the pissed off Bengals and you have two divisional matchups. So let's say you lose all of them. What is the season?
Not good.
Okay.
It's not good. But Joy,
that was a Dak Prescott-led team that has that stat.
But if the Cowboys are even 1-4, 1-5 when Dak Prescott gets back, don't you think that's still within striking distance? Because the Giants aren't going to win 12. As good as they looked last week, they're not going to win 12. The Commanders, they're not going to win 10+. They're not going to win 12. The Eagles, they could win 11-12. Hey, they didn't look great against the Lions.
We're going to win that.
But they could win 11-12. Even if the Cowboys start out 1-5, I'm not panicked unless I see the Eagles running away with it, unless I see the Giants running away with it. As long as, like, you keep me – you ran track. Joy ran track. Not a past life. You could probably still run.
I can't run. I can't run to the end of that fake field over there.
Well,
but yes, at one point in time, I was fast.
At one point in time, you was fast. And what you know is this. Yo, just give me the baton within striking distance. I'm going to go get him. As long as the Eagles and them are within striking distance, I think the Cowboys don't need to panic.
You remember the game on Sunday, right?
Yeah, there's a difference between striking distance and being lapped. 1-5? You expect me not to be panicked about the Dallas Cowboys if they're 1-5?
I got another stat for you, too. I did this off the rip. In 2020, Dak got hurt. Non-Dak games that Dak didn't start against the division, they went 1-4. And that's a pretty marked difference.
And not only that, but, like we're talking about the Cowboys. You think the Cowboys just come 1-5 that's going to catch everybody with that team, with that performance we've seen with Dak?
That's more concerning. Let's talk 2020, because this is what people don't remember about 2020. Dak got hurt. The season was ruined. Andy Dalton was terrible. The Cowboys were 1-3, en route to being 1-4 with Dak Prescott healthy. So in 2020, right, the Cowboys weren't good regardless. Are the Cowboys that bad this year? I don't think so. But 2020, Cowboys were only on pace to win 4 games. You can do the math. 1-3 with your quarterback. Expand that to a 16-game season. That's going to end up at 4-12. Right. So they weren't going to be great anyway.
So by that standard, why wouldn't they be panicked right now?
Right. The reason I wouldn't be panicked just yet is because I'm not convinced that the Cowboys aren't capable of staying within striking distance of the division. The NFC East never scares me, except for the Eagles. But if the Eagles gave up 35 points to the Detroit Lions, a Detroit Lions offense that isn't that competent. So if not for an Eagles pick 6, Eagles would catch an L to the Detroit Lions.
I won't go that far with the L. But I agree with you on just not panic, because you don't know. Cooper Rush can go out there and play well because he already did it. So, and I think when a team is, like, desperate for a win, okay, everybody's rallying behind him.
I think he can do that for a game. I'm not saying that Cooper Rush is not capable of doing that. Mm-hmm. But he's not going to do it for the next 5 games.
Not only
that's what happens with backup quarterbacks. You might get lightning in a bottle when he goes out and has a game.
Scheduling, though.
And then, like, the other team gets tape on you, and then they figure you out, and you're not able to sneak up on anybody. But also, if they let's say they lose these next 2 divisional games, that's within striking distance for you?
Because they still have 4 left, as long as you go 4-2 in the division, and we know Dak Prescott is capable of winning out.
A healthy Dak Prescott.
True. Very, very, very.
And we are all operating under the fantasy that he's going to be back for the Rams game.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go here then, Dave. Bengals, 0-1, looked bad last week. Cowboys, 0-1, looked bad last week. Both of these teams desperately need to win this game on Sunday. Problem is, they're playing each other. Who, Dave, needs to win more, Cowboys or Bengals?
It's the Cowboys. It has to be. Look, 0-2 is not a good place for anybody in the NFL. The numbers say that easily. But the Bengals, knock on wood, hopefully nobody gets hurt on Sunday, but they'll have all their guys. Like, if they start 0-2, they'll still have Joe and Jamar, and T. Higgins is supposed to play this week. They got Joe Mixon. They got everybody. They got all these guys that got them to the Super Bowl. They can bounce back from that. This Cowboys team needs to find a way, and I'm going to say the word steal. They got to steal some wins. They got to get into the win column and have people like us being like, oh, damn, Cowboys are 2-3? Dak can work with that. That's what they got to do. And it ain't going to happen if they're
Shady,
falling
off. Shady, you're shaking your head.
You sure about that? It's got to be Joe Burrow, right?
I feel you.
The Super Bowl runner-ups, I guess, because they didn't really win. So it's like, yo, It's the Bengals. Nobody had the Bengals going to the Super Bowl. Was it all hype? Was it real? Was it fake? And then if you want to go back in history, right, because I love to go back in history, starting 0-2, they've never, ever, ever made the playoffs starting that bad. So I think it's more with the Bengals. I mean, we got to see what we're getting here.
If you start 0-2, you only have a 9% chance, 9.6 to be exact, percent chance of making the playoffs. Joy, who needs this win more?
The Cowboys need to win more. Whether it was a fluke or not, Shady, they played in the Super Bowl. We started the show talking about Justin Herbert, who has a what record?
16-18.
Wow. Joe Burrow was just in the Super Bowl. So the Bengals still have some grace. Now, will it be concerning? Of course. That number is a real number, that it will very much affect their playoff chances. But they have some grace. Nobody's going to be fired from the Bengals if they don't make it back to the Super Bowl this year. They are still healthy. It's just a rough start and maybe a Super Bowl hangover, if you will. But the Cowboys have to steal as many games as they can while their starting quarterback, Dak Prescott, is out.
For me, I'm with you, 2-5. I think the Bengals need it more. But I think the Bengals need it more because you're in a division that has Lamar Jackson. You're in a division that has Mike Tomlin. You are in a very, 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 very competitive division. Whereas you and I lived in the NFC East. The majority of your career as an Eagles all-time rushing leader was in the NFC East. You know as well as I do, you can win that division with 9-10 wins. With the Giants, with the Commanders, with the Eagles, you can win that division with about 8-9 wins. We saw what happened with last year's AFC North. The Bengals, the Ravens, the Steelers, the Browns. Like, that division was so crazy close. It took 10, 11. If not for Lamar Jackson getting hurt, it would have taken 12.
I mean, the Bengals won it with 10. That's all I'm saying. I hear you. I'll put it this simply. Just one of these teams has to lose. Who would you rather be coaching? Like, whose team would you rather be invested in coming out of that game? An 0-2 Cowboys team that won't have Dak Prescott for 3 to 6 more weeks, or all the guys I just listed that we all like so much on the Cincinnati Bengals? Who would you rather have to help you dig out of that hole?
That's fair.
And if you say the Cowboys, you would be lying.
That's a good point.
What I was saying, that 0-2, that wasn't just a number. That's facts of history. The Bengals starting 0-2, they've never made the playoffs. So, they got to, you know what I'm saying, they got to do something.
I agree with you on that, but boy, I'm going to come with you on this. I'm going to take what Dave gave me and try to turn it on his head. If I were to tell you that either the Cowboys or the Bengals would start 0-2, you would say the Cowboys.
Right.
You would say the Cowboys.
Oh, right,
you would say
the
Cowboys.
Right. There you go.
So for me, Dave, it's not so much like who would you rather be. It's, wait a second, if the Bengals start 0-2, they are shocked.
Yeah.
You won the Super Bowl last year, and now you know you're good. You're not, like, thinking you're good. If the Cowboys start 0-2, it's like, oh, yeah, we thought they was going to start 0-2. With the healthy Dak, they were probably going to start 0-2. Let's be real. They weren't going to be favored over the Bengals or the Bucks.
So basically what you're saying is our expectations shouldn't be that high for the Cowboys, so it's not that important.
Yes.
That's not the question.
Agree. That's not the question, but I do think that is the
chess match
reality. Chess match right before your eyes.
And your boy that y'all love, he threw 4 picks last week. I don't know if you guys forgot. 4 picks.
Heard about that.
I'm still trying to figure out how Joy said she played chess competitively on the sly. We will revisit that later.
Please.
You're going to have to comment. You're not avoiding that like you avoided the whole Trey Lance making it rain. Anyway, coming up, we're going back to last night Chargers Chiefs game. Me and Shady got to duke something out. Whose interception was to blame? Was it Herbert? Was it Everett? But also, did the best team actually win the game? Gosh, you're going to want to stay for that one. We'll answer that next. Peace.
I didn't really avoid it. You didn't like straight up ask me.
Did he say?
Look, family, I more than anybody live 2 lives, so let's check in on my social life. If you were watching the game yesterday, you saw the interception for a touchdown. Justin Herbert, he throws it. Chiefs end up winning the game. I said simply, fatigue makes a coward of us all. That pick 6 wasn't necessarily on Herbert. It was on fatigue. Justin Herbert's going to have to learn when his receivers are tired, they tired, boss. You see Justin Herbert, he's asking for one more play. Meanwhile, his receiver, Gerald Everett, he's like, hey, coach, get me out. But let's take a look at the play, Shady. I need you to look at the play for yourself.
I'm on my way.
And break
I'm
it down for our family here at home. So there go the pick. Talk to me, Shady.
So first of all, you just said that, whose fault was it?
Fatigue.
Oh, but earlier you said it was, anyway. So look. Now, the tight end here, Everett, he has a flat route. I know he's tired. He can't get
his
mouthpiece.
He can't even get his mouth.
That's the excuse.
Oh,
I'm tired. I can't run for the pick. But look, he goes to the flat. If he goes to the flat, then Herbert can throw it sidearm like he did to a spot. Not to a person, to a spot.
Here's my thing.
He backed off.
If I tell you I'm tired, why don't you acknowledge the fact that I told you I was tired?
Hey, look, the quarterback, whatever he says goes. That's the captain.
One more, two more, you got to do it. You got to suck it up. He got to suck it up. America, he being soft. You got to suck it up, baby. We need you. And it's your fault we got the pick six.
So you blaming Everett for this?
Oh, my. Not me. Not me. The coordinator, the coach, the head coach. It's his fault.
Everett got them down there in the first place after that long reception.
Yeah, man, one play can make a difference in the game. And it did make a big difference.
Here's my thing. Herbert, you got to know your man. You got to know your personnel. If he says he's tired, boss, he's tired, boss. Let me get back to the desk. I'm tired of this.
I'm tired of you, boss.
Dave, before we transition, we did just get a little breaking news from Brandon Staley that Justin Herbert has rib cartilage injury, not to be confused with a fractured rib, but there is rib cartilage injury. We do not yet have the timetable for his return. Talking last night while we were hanging out, we being the three of us, remember, Joy stood us up.
Right.
Talking last night while we were hanging out, you said that the better team didn't actually win the game because you thought that the Chiefs were a better team. So I got to ask you straight up so you can tell the whole world, did the best team win the game last night?
Do I have to? Okay, right. Look, the Chiefs.
No, look. I asked you a yes or no question. What am I looking at? What you want me to look at?
No. Look, okay. I get how silly that sounds. That's why I'm being reluctant. Like, the Chiefs won fair and square. They won the game. Oh, man. I am intrigued by this Charger team. I am very intrigued by what we have seen and what we saw from them last night. To go into Arrowhead, Shady and I already laid it out for you. Keenan Allen wasn't even a part of this game. One of the most underrated receivers in the entire league. Their offensive line gets decimated. They lose Trey Pipkins and Corey Linsley. No disrespect to the Chiefs' pass rush, but it started looking a hell of a lot better when those guys weren't in the game. And it still came down to the final minutes, man. In the long run, Chiefs might have been the better team last night, but in the long run, I don't know if they're the better team overall in the AFC West.
Joy, can you say this with your chest, please? Did the better team win the game last night?
Yes. The better team won the game last night.
I'm sorry, Joy.
I think it's time we just put a little sprinkle of respect on the Kansas City Chiefs. On the 2-0
totally
Kansas
fair.
City Chiefs.
It's totally fair.
Just a little sprinkle, a little Salt Bay, just enough. You know.
Hey, I picked them to win the Super Bowl. I can't think that little of them. That's all I'm saying.
Well, then how are the Chargers the better?
Because they're so fun.
See, I can't stand
them.
They're so fun.
Listen, I love fun. Okay, I'm not the fun police. Sure. But at the end of the day, there's a win column and a loss column.
Yes,
there is
columns.
No were they more fun
two
column.
Columns. Two
That's
columns.
It.
Dave has made up a couple columns today. I don't know if you noticed. He made up a dropped interception column.
Oh, yeah,
Dave.
That one.
He made up the more fun team column. You've made up one too many columns for my liking. 2-5, did the better team win the game last night?
Absolutely not.
Oh!
And I'll tell you why.
Let's go.
Because I respect the Chiefs and Andy Reid, and I definitely respect Patrick Mahomes.
You got your Super Bowl. You have no choice.
And Travis
your contract.
Kelce. This is the difference, though. That team didn't scare nobody last night, right? If you really watch that game, the Chiefs, I've never seen a defense face-to-face, bump-on-bump, man-on-man, with the safeties only 15 yards deep. I've never seen that because they had the cheetah, right? If you watch last night, how many times did them dudes, like, make plays on the outside? I'm talking about the receivers. Juju Schuster, he played, right? Did he play?
He played.
Oh, I didn't see him do anything. Scaling, I didn't see him do anything.
It's up for debate.
Okay, and then they had one cool play with Jason Watts. I played with him in the Bucks.
Yep.
So it's like, okay, like, where's the points coming from? Where's the stats coming from? Patrick Mahomes made plays yesterday. That's the difference. But my thing is, hold real quick, if you're on the road, right, or if you're at home, you're supposed to win them games. All I'm saying is this, when it comes down to it, you can't win against a team like that's all banged up. I'm nervous for the Chiefs.
But here's my thing, because I'm with Joy on this one, y'all. The Chiefs won the game. The Chiefs have won six consecutive division titles.
Cheetah.
They won again last night, and y'all are going to tell me that the team that has won the division six consecutive times, the team that won last night, isn't the better team. Dave, you are too smart to say something that makes no sense.
I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. It's tough, man, because, look, the Chiefs deserve a certain amount of respect. They do. They've won the division six times. They've been in the AFC title game every year since, what, 2018, I think?
Mm-hmm.
All of that speaks for itself. But at the same time, the Chargers have designed this team to beat the Chiefs.
But they didn't.
Oh, thank you.
It's week two.
Here's the problem. If I'm the king, you got to knock me off before you start talking
talk about
how
you're
better.
Talk about it. Talk
better.
That talk, Joy Taylor.
You got to knock me off
talk
first.
That talk, Joy Taylor.
I respect you as an opponent.
Talk that
but
talk,
at
Joy
the
Taylor.
End of it, I'm still winning. Thank you for showing up, little bro, but you still little
All
bro.
All I'm saying
you're
is
still bro.
The
you're
record,
still my son.
I believe.
You're still my son.
I believe the season record since, like, the cheat, since Herbert got the division. It's like 3-2.
I got to do this.
Like, it's
Herbert
not like.
Has not played. What just happened?
Don't break the desk. They dropped. They
right,
dropped.
Relax, muscles. Justin Herbert hasn't made the playoffs yet.
I know.
I respect everything that the Chargers have put together this offseason. They look talented. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you got to knock the Chiefs off before you start talking about you're the better team. They have the better coach.
Yep.
They have the better quarterback.
Yep. Keep going. Okay. Keep going. They have the better tight end. Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Defense, I would give to the Chargers, although the Kansas City defense stepped up last night big time.
They did?
They did.
They have a pick six?
Come on, y'all keep talking this pick six.
They have a pick six?
That won't happen like that no more.
First of all,
they dropped three picks. Two of them, Asante Samuel Jr. If you take away, they told me that doesn't count. They watch football like you watch it. If you take away the junior part, and this is Asante Samuels, the one we know, that's pick six.
Okay, here's my thing.
Come on.
Dave, you said something that I need to exploit, and Dave said something that's incredibly brilliant because it is accurate. He said that the Chargers designed their team to beat the Chiefs, and they did. But it doesn't matter how you design a team. It matters how you actually execute. Shady, you was watching the game with me at the crib. Dave, you was watching the game with me at the crib. The difference in the game, not the pick six, but the difference in the game from the Chiefs' perspective was the play where the Chargers designed it to beat the Chiefs. We're double-teaming Kelce, single, man-to-man across the board. Everybody is in man. We are going to take Travis Kelce out of the game because he's double-teamed. We designed you all to beat the Chiefs. Why? Because we signed J.C. Jackson, this man, number 27, to an $82 million contract. Lock him up, please. Just lock him up one-on-one so we can take Travis Kelce out the game and win the snap on 3rd-and-10. But if you, J.C. Jackson, who we signed to design to beat the Chiefs, get outdueled by a fifth-round draft pick out of Penn, then it does not matter what we design, because at the end of the day, our design is irrelevant if it doesn't play out on the field. So, Dave, I'm rocking with you. The Chargers actually did design their squad to beat the Chiefs, but what they designed got whooped still on the field.
That guy's pretty special. I'm not going to deny that.
JC or Watson?
No, well, this guy right behind me right here, Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. I don't like the ground I'm standing on. I don't.
Off of it. Stand on George's ground.
Stand on my ground, brother. Don't do it. Stand on my ground.
I just like the Chargers too much, man. I'm curious to see how this. Okay, put it this way. The Chiefs have him. The Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, which is going to be a great equalizer. I think that was kind of the story of the game, in my opinion, is Mahomes was able to make it work with the guys that they have put around him without Tyreek Hill. It didn't look as good, though. We're gonna get to that. I wonder what will win out in the end. Is Mahomes dragging this thing along or the Chargers' better collection of talent, which I think they have?
I think the Chiefs have gotten into that Golden State Warriors, almost Patriots territory. Where we're tired of them just being the best and assuming that they're the best and them winning. So anytime anything changes with them, we immediately want to say, oh, they figured out Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. No, they haven't. Oh, they're not going to win without Tyreek Hill. Well, they're 2-0, and they just beat a divisional opponent that everyone has going to the next level this year. It's early, yes. Is it as beautiful as it once was? No. But, Shady, you said something last week about, or maybe it was this week, about Philadelphia. And this is very true about Philadelphia. It's a very traditional Philly thing. It doesn't have to be pretty. You just got to get the dub. Philadelphia has that about them, right? It doesn't have to be pretty. We don't have to win the way everybody wants it to look. At the end of the day, if we get the win, that's what matters. And I don't even think Kansas City is quite there yet, because that was still a pretty game by Patrick Mahomes to me.
So when I look at the team now, the Chiefs, when I look at the difference is they're putting a lot more on Patrick Mahomes. Before, I can't say Patrick Mahomes won every game by himself, because he really didn't, right? He won a lot of them, but a lot of them he won because of the talent he had around him. Now, yesterday, he showed me that, okay, he won these games. Yep. But only thing about Patrick Mahomes that I got to ask is that, is he always going to be this perfect? Because nobody's really this perfect. He played a perfect game. Yo, they had they scored more.
Yeah.
The Chargers scored more. They had more first downs. They had more yards.
The Chargers offense scored more, to be exact.
Yeah.
Because the Chiefs
picked
six.
More touchdowns. They had more yards. They had more first downs. So my thing is, when I really watched that game, okay, so, like, you brought that up. JC got beat for touchdown. $82 million. That's cool. How many times is that going to happen, though? Right? Think about it. I'm just talking about the straight football. The Chiefs is a really, really good team. They're not the same team. They don't fare teams the same like they did. I've never seen so many. They didn't have, 30 to 40 yard passes. That's all the time with the Chiefs. I didn't see that last night. I didn't see Juju or Sterling at all.
Well, I did see a 41 yard pass to Watson. that we just watched.
Yeah, okay, look, like I said, how often is that going to happen against our best corner?
We're going to see this year. But right,
is not going to beat him like that.
No, I don't think that's going to happen every time.
It's an all-pro corner. It happens.
I don't, but Patrick Mahomes also put it perfectly.
That's Patrick Mahomes. I'm just saying, I'm not sure he played perfect every game. Now, if he plays perfect every game, then they'll win every game. But it's not the same Chiefs that scare you. Like, we got the Chiefs this week. Yo, tell mom, dad, don't watch the game. It ain't that game. And y'all watched it.
That's fair.
The margin for error seems thinner.
But yeah, even with the margin for error being thinner, don't you have to put something on the fact that at the end of the day, the Chiefs still won? Well, it don't matter what happened, the Chiefs won.
The one thing is, we didn't have our best weapon of offense for the Chargers, Keelan Allen, yep. Right? Our starting tackle and our starting center was not in the game. Because I'm defending. I'm defending my Chargers right now.
Let me ask you this.
Just for that. Just for the game.
Just for the game, baby.
Think about that. No center, no tackle. Like, that matters in football.
But things happen throughout the game. You have injuries throughout the game and throughout the season. I can't just look at nuance that deeply when you're talking about these divisional matchups. Like, are there reasons why you lose? Of course, there's reasons why you lose. There's reasons why you win. But at the end of the day, you can't tell me this is a better overall team after I just watched you lose.
A losing team can't be a better team overall?
No, they can.
They're on the road.
There are
you should win the home games.
All wins and losses are not created equal. You can have outliers. But it's the Chiefs.
It's the champ.
So I watched this.
You know this.
You're not an outlier.
We were talking about a fight going to a fight last night. You know this in MMA fights and boxing matches, etc. If it goes to the scorecard, the decision is still going to the reigning champ. If it goes to the decision, like if you are an underdog, if you want to knock out the champ, you got to knock out the champ. If you want the belt, you got to knock him out. You can't leave it up to decision. The Chargers did not knock the Chiefs out last night. If it's left up to decision, then it's got to go to the Chiefs. That's all I'm saying.
Just know this, though. It wasn't an away game. And in the division games, you're supposed to win the home games.
Of course.
Okay, so we'll see, though. It's a long season. I like the Chiefs. Chiefs are a good team. Patrick Mahomes, he showed me that. Listen, it's a big difference between Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes. Fair. He showed me that.
That's real. Yeah, that's real.
I agree.
Well, coming up, I'm going to show you who I believe is going to win every single game on the weekend. Gamblers, stay tuned. And we got to talk about Trey Lance, y'all. We know he's making it rain in the clubs. It's supposed to rain on Sunday. But is he already on the hot seat? We'll talk about that.
Lance, call me up, man. We'll have some fun together, brother. Easy. I'll get you some W.
Trey.
Welcome back, family, to Speak. Now, look, last night's game got wild, which had me thinking about the rest of this crazy Sunday schedule. I'm going to put 100 seconds on the clock. I'm going through the entirety of this weekend's games, and I'm going to tell you who's going to win each one. 100 seconds on the clock. Please, runners, take your marks. Get set. Let's get it popping. We got the Browns and the Jets. Keep in mind, the Jets had a bad loss last week. Browns, good win. Browns going to win again. Detroit Lions and the Commanders. Lions lost to the Eagles last week. The Lions are going to beat the NFC East opponent this time around. Lions win. Bucks, Saints. Tom Brady, 0-4 versus the Saints. That changes on Sunday. Bucks win. How about the Panthers and the Giants? Will Baker Mayfield get revenge? No, he will not. Giants win. Moving it on. Patriots, Steelers. I can't wait for this matchup. However, Tom Brady, nope, he's gone. Mac Jones gonna get himself a dub. Patriots win. Colts, Jags. Gonna be an ugly game. Colts had an ugly last game. Colts make up for that. Colts win. This is my game. This is my game. This is my game. Dolphins, Ravens, you know who I got. Unfortunately, I got the Ravens. Ravens win. Rams, they're going to get it done. They're going to beat the Falcons. That'll be easy. Keeping it pushing. We got the Niners and we got the Seahawks. Trey Lance, it's going to rain. Hopefully not in the club this time, but on the football field, it will. Trey Lance, they'll get it done. Cowboys, Bengals. Sorry, Cowboys fans. Bengals going to win. How about the Broncos and the Texans? Russell Wilson, get yourself a dub. Broncos going to win. Raiders, Cardinals. This one's a little spicy. Both the teams lost last week. Raiders going to find a way to get it done. Bears, Packers. Aaron Rodgers says he owns the Bears. He does. Packers win. Titans, Bills. Last year, remember how close this game was. It's going to be a blowout. Bills going away. And the Eagles versus the Vikings. Y'all know what time it is, baby. Fly. Eagles, fly. Eagles get it done. However, Vikings going to stay close. That's a 100-second sprint, and now I'm officially out of breath. Anyway, moving over to the show, because for me, some of the most exciting games of the week, Shady, Trey Lance, Seahawks. Trey Lance has to win the game because he lost last week against the Bears. The Bears, not a good team. Seahawks, allegedly, not a great team. Is Trey Lance already on the hot seat?
No. It's one game, brother. I think you give him to about week five and see what happens. It was a lot of rain, bad weather. I think this game would be a lot better for him, more comfortable. They should win this game easily.
But if you are a veteran in that locker room and you lose again to the Seahawks after losing to the Bears, Bears one of the worst teams in the league, Seahawks supposed to be one of the worst teams in the league. If you start 0-2 because Trey Lance is your quarterback, are you not a little frustrated?
That doesn't matter to me, right? Because it's the franchise quarterback. They trade three first-round picks for him, so it doesn't matter what I think, matter what you think. It matters what the coach thinks and the owners.
Talk to me.
No, Trey Lance is not already on the hot seat after one game. Also, you mentioned the Seahawks and the Bears. They both won week one. So we can say whatever we want about how bad they're supposed to be. They both started the season with wins. So if they lose this game, then maybe the Seahawks are better than we thought they were. Trey Lance is not going to come into the league and after his third start and blow the doors off. That's not what happens. I have an interesting stat I want to give you. Josh Allen, he's pretty good, right?
He's pretty good.
He's pretty
now
good.
Now he is. Now he is.
Thank you for saying that, Emmanuel. Now he's good. Now he is. Josh Allen did not start off well. You know who he started off exactly like? Trey Lance. In fact, he had fewer rushing yards through his first career starts than Trey Lance. Trey Lance has 174. Josh Allen had 90. They are literally identical through their first three stats. Now imagine what world we'll be living had the Buffalo Bills discussed benching Josh Allen or thinking that he was on the hot seat three starts in. Now, I certainly thought that way, which is why I don't feel this way about Trey Lance. Also, if he's on the hot seat, that means that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are ready to admit that they blew three first-round picks, which I don't think they're doing anytime soon.
I mean, you might be right, but the Bills have a Super Bowl-ready roster when Josh Allen was doing that?
No, we did not. I was there. We did not have that.
There. I hate to follow Acho on this line of thinking. And I'm not – I'm right now, no. Check in with me on Sunday night. I want to see how this game goes. I'm just – they're heavily favored to win this game. If he struggles and they start 0-2, I'm not saying he gets replaced week three, but, like, yes, this conversation gets louder if they fall to 0-2.
Here's my thing. Joy, your excuse and Chase, and really all three of you all's excuse for Trey Lance losing week one was it was week one and it was in the rain. And not just the rain, a monsoon. My brother was at the game in Chicago. If you lose again in week two and it's not a monsoon, your excuses have to change. But sooner or later, you're going to run out of excuses for Trey Lance, and you're just going to have to admit maybe he's not that good.
That's four starts in the NFL? I'm not going to do that. Four starts in, I'm not going to do that. If you don't want to go through the growing pains with a young quarterback, don't draft a quarterback because they're going to be what? Young.
But the issue
every team doesn't have to do this. You keep bringing up the veterans and what the veterans might feel or having a Super Bowl-ready roster. There are teams that are in that situation. What's a team? The Broncos. Did they go draft a rookie quarterback? How'd it go? Badly. Then what did they do? They went out and got who?
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson.
Yes.
What did the Buccaneers do? Did they draft a rookie quarterback? No. They went and got who?
Tom Brady.
What did the Rams do? They had a Super Bowl-ready roster.
Matthew
they just
Stafford,
won one.
But where are you
do?
Going
they,
with this?
They draft a rookie quarterback? No. You don't have to draft a rookie quarterback. If you have a Super Bowl-ready team right now, you should be in the market for a veteran that you think will take you over the edge. If you want to draft a rookie quarterback, you're going to have to take some lumps and bruises.
But
and
remember,
certainly four games in.
Remember a year ago, the 49ers were in the market allegedly for Aaron Rodgers. This was when Aaron Rodgers was threatening retirement. This was when Aaron Rodgers wanted out. We all know Aaron Rodgers, super familiar with the 49ers. They drafted Alex Smith notoriously before drafting Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if he's from the Bay, but he did go to Cal Berkeley. So the Niners were in the market for a quarterback. I'm just wondering, Joy, at what point, and obviously four games for you was too soon, but at what point do you admit maybe we made a mistake? Like the Packers with Jordan Love, they were just kind of admitted, like, you know what? We messed this up. They didn't get rid of Aaron Rodgers, not comparing Aaron Rodgers to Jimmy G, but the Packers didn't say, well, we traded up to draft Jordan Love, so sorry, Aaron Rodgers, you got to go. They were just like, you know what? We messed this up, but we're not going to keep messing it up.
Keep messing it up how? Jordan Love's still on that roster.
But he's not starting.
Why would he be starting over Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
I didn't think that was a good pick or a good idea in that situation. But if you take a rookie quarterback, he's got to play for the whole season to see what he is. You can't go four games in. The only reason we're even having this conversation is because Jimmy Garoppolo is there. A guy.
Trey Lance is bad to me. That's why I'm having it. If Trey would have beat the Bears,
but if Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't on the roster, would you be saying that they need to go out and get another quarterback?
No. So there are both reasons.
So the point is that the only reason that we're even entertaining this is because Jimmy Garoppolo, a guy who did not win a Super Bowl with this team, by the way, but the exact same roster, won some regular season games and some playoff games and didn't get it done, did not win a chip, That's why he's the backup quarterback now, not to mention the fact that he missed 25 games due to injury while he was there, mm-hmm. so completely unreliable. That's why we're having this conversation. That's why Jimmy G shouldn't be on this roster.
Moving on to Aaron Rodgers, who we were just speaking of, the Packers, they did not look good last week. We all saw it. We all heard about it. We saw the highlights. But the Packers have the Bears this coming week. Now, the Packers have an incredibly young receiving core. How big is this game? Dave, do you expect to see vintage Aaron Rodgers or a struggling Aaron Rodgers?
I'm going vintage. It's the Bears, man. He owns the Bears. He told us that last year. He's 22-5.
Something like
that. I think they're going to get Alan Lazard back. He's practicing this week, so receiver corps should have some help. It's at Lambeau. Yeah, I'm going.
Joy, vintage or struggling?
Yeah, we're going to go vintage. He does own the Bears. 22-5 all-time record against the Bears. Wow. And 12-2 at home. He broke his collarbone in the opening drive of one of those losses at home. So
it's even better than you would
yeah,
think.
Yeah, that's an easy win right there. Vintage.
Vintage.
A lot of double check. Belt double check. A lot of that.
Okay, let's move on to what I think is the most exciting game of the weekend for a very hidden reason. The Miami Dolphins are taking on the Baltimore Ravens. Both teams are 1-0. We don't know a ton about both teams, but we have high hopes for both teams. The Ravens beat the Jets last week. Can't really read into that. The Dolphins beat the Patriots last week. You can kind of read into that, but now they are facing each other. Dave, for me, this game has huge implications because last year in the AFC, seven teams were decided by one game for those final 3 and 4 playoff spots. What are the implications of this game to you?
I just think it's a big opportunity. And I know the Ravens didn't make the playoffs last year, but we would all agree that was more because of an injury than anything.
All day, all day.
This is an AFC contender. This is a team we expect to contend to win its division. They have an MVP quarterback. They've been to the playoffs 3 out of Lamar's 4 years as the starter. So if the Dolphins can get a win on the road against a team like that, not saying it makes them a Super Bowl contender, but it opens my eyes to how good they might actually be. If they can get this win, I say, okay, Dolphins, damn, let's talk about it.
Why wouldn't you go as far as to say the Dolphins would be a Super Bowl contender since you already know they're in the playoffs? They could beat a team that's a Super Bowl contender.
We watched the game together last night. You saw those two teams. You saw that one, and I'll even give the Chiefs credit. It's a stacked conference.
Levels.
It's the AFC.
It's levels.
So I'm not ready to put them on that level, but this would be an impressive win to me.
Joy, what are the implications of this one?
I think it would be a more impressive win for Miami than for the Ravens, but this game to me, I don't think if it's an evenly matched game and the Ravens win, I'm not going to feel badly about the Dolphins, and vice versa. So it doesn't really move me. I get what you're saying about the playoff implications later on in the season, but we really won't know right now. I'm not going to walk away with panic on either side of this, depending on how the game goes. Now, if it ends up being a blowout, having a different conversation. But assuming this is a competitive game, either way it goes, I'm not going to be too overly emotional
too
about
far.
It.
I think that the Ravens gain more with this win, right? I look at Lamar Jackson going through everything he went to with the contracts, and now if you get this win right here, it's like he's laser focused right now. Like everything he talks about, no contract, all about the Dolphins, all about the Jets. Like, with this win, he's moving forward with that type of attitude. I think they gain more, man, as an organization, as a team.
Unsung story of this game, really, every time Lamar Jackson takes the field, he's taking the field for a whole lot of money and with a whole lot of money on the line. Speaking of money, we got to get to today's Fox Bet Super 6 because every week you have a chance, a free chance, to win Terry Bradshaw's money. This week, you could take home $100,000. It is time to make our picks for one of the 6 matchups because Bucks Saints, one of the 6 matchups, that is Bucks Saints. Download the app now and play with us. Y'all already know who I'm going with. I said the Bucks, but Dave, where you at on this one?
I mean, I know he beat him in the playoffs, but the Saints have had Tom Brady's number. I think he's going to change that. I think they win by 3.
I also have Bucks by 3.
Y'all share notes again?
No.
Because she copied off you. Joy copied off you last time, right?
I'm going with 7. Oh, yeah, she cheated, yeah.
Not cheating.
I got you.
My stuff was... I picked you in the garbage before you even filled yours out.
Oh, you can cheat off me.
You got Saints by 7, Bucks by 7?
Bucks.
Bucks by 7. Oh, Fox Bet Super 6 has given away more than $6.5 million to over 80,000 winners, and there are guaranteed winners every week. Download the free-to-play app and enter your 6 picks in the NFL Sunday Challenge Contest for a chance to win $100,000. We'll be right back. Welcome back, family. Like I said, we live 2 lives. Let's check in on our social life. Tyreek Hill, the man known as Cheetah, used to play with Patrick Mahomes, 6-time Pro Bowler with Patrick Mahomes. Watched Patrick Mahomes throw this touchdown pass, and he said, good ball, 15.
crying emoji. Dave, you think Tyreek Hill really misses Pat Mahomes? You think he Gucci?
I saw him have to fight for some balls on Sunday in that Dolphins-Patriots game. So, yeah, he might miss him. I don't know.
Joy, you the resident Dolphins fan. How do you think Tyreek Hill actually felt watching that game?
I think Tyreek got his money. He feels very
That's
happy
true.
About
he can count. He can count the reasons
he
why he's not
Miami.
Sad.
Yeah. He's doing all right. Yeah. But it's okay to miss your former teammates. It's allowed. Is that not a thing?
No, it's real. Everybody misses a former lover. Every now and then. Let's stay with the Chiefs. They won last night, but they had to rally from a 10-point deficit in the third quarter, and Patrick Mahomes only threw for 235 yards. Shady, you was talking all reckless. Chiefs ain't going to be nothing without Tyreek Hill. Chiefs ain't good without Tyreek Hill. Do you think the Chiefs offense should be worried? Are you worried about the Chiefs offense?
I'm very, very worried about the offense. If you watched it last night, you're used to seeing the Chiefs.
Why you say if you watch it? You watched it at my house.
No, no. I'm
you
saying,
were on my couch. I'm saying if, you stole my blanket.
Did you? But
did, if you watched it last night.
I don't know if you've seen
you
it.
You was borrowing my AC. You was borrowing my food.
By the way,
you were drinking out my fridge.
Got a nice house, boy.
What you mean if I watched it?
Can I come over Sunday to eat?
No.
Watch the game?
Answer the question.
Real quick.
Are you worried about the Chiefs?
I'm worried because my thing is this. If you watched the game, which you should have watched because you was there with me, they didn't throw the ball deep. I'm not used to seeing the defensive like coaches and the game plans like pushing them up, bumping, run. I'm not used to seeing that, right? Press coverage, one-on-one, right? With the safety, 15 yards. I'm not used to seeing that. I'm used to seeing guys 25, 30 yards deep. When I first got there, I was so surprised. Like, wow, the safety is so far. It's because they throw the ball far.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really look at the numbers, first of all, Patrick Mahomes is a guy that likes to throw the ball 30, 40 yards downfield. That's his thing,
yep.
Right? They call it the angle route. Last night, when the flag came on for holding,
Mecole
Hardman.
Hardman.
It's an angle route. They come on there for about 25 yards, and then he angles it out. The only two players I've ever seen do that so well is DeSean Jackson, who played for Andy Reid, and
Tyreek Hill.
So we didn't see no long balls, but you love numbers, right? So 30 yards.
Well, I got a lot of them, so I hope you're good.
30 yards and farther, right?
Mm-hmm.
Throwing a ball to Tyreek Hill. You won't believe Patrick Mahomes' passing rating. 1.38. 138. That's crazy. Now, everybody else, do you want to know that number? 69, if it's not number 10, Tyreek Hill. So my thing is this. They're not efficient offense throwing the ball deep. Now, I don't think Patrick Mahomes can just keep dumping the whole way down the field. That's not his game. That's not what makes him. So my thing is I'm very concerned because Juju Schuster, did you even see him out there?
You took out his whole name.
Yeah.
Bro, I didn't even see him.
Three catches for 10 yards.
You paid all these wide receivers. They're not even playing. They're not doing nothing. No receiver had over 100 yards last night. 60 yards last night.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's not the Chiefs' offense. You double her real quick. You double team Kelce. And then all the other guys you just play ball with. Look, let's double Kelce and just you guys guard whoever you want to guard. It was like that with Tyreek Hill. It was a real offense. So my thing is this. If Patrick Mahomes is going to play perfect every game, then they'll win like that. If not, they're in trouble. Pass it to Joy.
Is it a Mahomes pass? Because I'm going to catch that.
Ooh.
All right.
Depends who you are.
Wait, what's the question? Am I worried about the Chiefs' offense?
Yes.
No, I'm not worried about the Chiefs' offense. The Chargers' defense is pretty good, right? They have some great pieces on the defensive end.
Pretty good. Just getting there.
They're good?
What?
They have some players. They have some dogs. The Chargers' defense now.
Yes,
they didn't last year, but this year they do.
Uh-huh.
Right? Okay. So Patrick Mahomes was 24 of 35, 235 yards and 2 touchdowns against that pretty good defense.
Okay.
You mentioned 40-plus receiving yards. 4 different players had 40-plus receiving yards. 8 different players had 2 receptions or more. He said before the game, they're going to spread it around more. It's not going to be Tyreek Hill. It's not just going to be Travis Kelce. It's going to be a more diverse offense. Now, we know that losing a player like Tyreek Hill is going to affect your team. That is obvious. I don't think anybody's denying that. But to say that you're worried about a team that is averaging 35.5 points per game so far this season is a little ludicrous, no? That's a big number. It's only 2 games. That's what they're averaging.
Only 2 games. I'm talking about the rapper, by the way.
Only 2 games. Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Do you know what they averaged last year? In 2021?
Against the Chargers?
28 points. No, per game.
Oh, okay.
The offense. This offense that you're so concerned about.
Right.
28.2 points per game. They scored 20 last night. They're averaging 35.5 per game this year. So did they take – is it a different offense? Is it not as pretty? Is it not as glamorous? Is it not as over the top? Can you count on all the players the way you did with Tyreek Hill? No. But you have Andy Reid and you have Patrick Mahomes. And while we're not mentioning it, Travis Kelce still plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. He is still the best tight end.
He got all the attention
the
last night. He got all the attention, all double teams. So you're right.
And it opened it up for everyone else. They got the dub.
Okay. I think what's important to remember for me, and no, I'm with Joy, I'm not worried. The important thing to remember is that a season is like a living, breathing thing. Like, I think about basketball all the time. Like, when KD was with the Warriors, it takes time to figure out the rotations. Like, who needs to be on the court together? Who does Steph play the best with? The Kansas City Chiefs are about to figure all of that stuff out in real time. Because other than Travis Kelce, the rest of this whole thing is pretty new. You realize 9 guys caught passes from Mahomes last night? That's like a preseason game when you just got like the whole roster getting in for a series. That's not normal. They're going to figure this out. They got a rookie named Sky Moore, who I'm very high on. They got new receivers. Maybe Juju can see a bigger role. I'm not going to guarantee that happens.
Did he play last night?
He did play, okay. As a matter
sorry,
of fact.
Sorry, I keep asking that question. I'm sorry. But sorry, Joe.
They have Marquez Valdes-Scantling as
did
well.
Did he play last night?
He did.
I'm just trying to figure out who played.
It's
I'm sorry.
It's week two, my but, guy. But they're going to find the rotation that works the
let
best.
Let me get in on this, because I'm actually with Shady more than I'm with y'all.
You smart man.
here's why. We're talking about finding the rotation. Finding the rotation is to some degree irrelevant because you can't find the talent. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, over the course of his 4 years in the NFL, he averages 2 catches a game. He played with the greatest quarterback maybe in our generation of Aaron Rodgers. 2 consecutive MVPs, and Marquez Valdes-Scantling averaged 2 catches a game. You talk about Justin Watson, who Shady played with in Tampa Bay, won a Super Bowl. Justin Watson had that miraculous touchdown catch with Patrick Mahomes.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Great guy. But he only averages 1 target a game in his career, half a catch. He played with Tom Brady. You talk about Juju Smith-Schuster. Over the last 3 years of Juju Smith's career, he only averages 500 yards a game. So while they might find the rotation, unless you can find better players, more talented players, the rotation to me doesn't matter as much. Last night, Joy is exactly right. The Chargers, to some degree, they did their thing. But I'm with Shady of, if I can double Travis Kelce and let Justin Watson, a 5th-round pick out of Penn, have to beat me, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, a cat who averages 2 catches a game, have to beat me, I'm not that concerned about the Chiefs' offense being a threat. Therefore, long-term, Joy, I am a little bit more concerned about the noise they can make. I don't know that they will be as potent as they historically have been.
Well, no, I don't disagree with you there, because I think Tyreek Hill is an amazing player and an amazing weapon. You can't replace a talent with volume in most cases. But Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid changed that for me. You talking about all those players and what they normally do, well, what have they done the last 2 weeks? Spread it around, and they have 2 wins against a Chargers team that everyone has as the best team in that division.
I
see the theoretical part of it. I see the beauty of how you're winning. But in the end, are you winning? And are you winning against what opponents? You beat the Chargers at home last night, right? With these guys on the field. So you got it done. So as the evidence as I see it right now, how much better are the opponents than the Chargers out there? We're talking about the Bills.
I personally think there are quite a few, but I understand what you're saying.
Well, yeah, I shouldn't be asking you that.
Let me ask you this though, real quick. So they got the win, and that's what matters, most importantly. They got the win. But my thing is so I won't even talk about the injuries, because that doesn't matter. But if we just talk about the Chargers, real quick, this is the Chargers, right? In the last 4 years with Tyreek Hill, they averaged 30 points.
Chiefs, yes, sir.
Yeah, the Chiefs. They averaged 30 points, and they averaged 400 yards with Tyreek Hill. Last night, they had 20 points, 300 yards. Like, it's a difference.
I'm less worried about the receivers than I am the running game.
And last thing, real quick, right? Because they don't really run the ball like that. That's going to be dead. They don't run the ball that much. They don't run it. But the other thing is this. So when other teams watch this tape, right, they're going to see that. Oh, he's not catching the ball. He gets 2 catches a game. Oh, he gets 1 catch a game. Oh, we got to watch Travis Kelce. They see tape. It's going to be a different story.
It's interesting. I do agree with you all thus far based on what your eyes have said. But, Shady, I agree with you in projection, big dog. I agree with you.
There's no chance Mahomes elevates any of these guys.
I'm not betting against Patrick Mahomes.
He will, but it's hard to elevate somebody.
You got
to
be great. You
got to
be great every game.
And that's what Tyreek Hill gave you. Coming up, Zeke and the Cowboys. They're turning to Cooper Rush on Sunday. Boy, oh, boy, do they need a win against the Bengals. But there are several 0-1 teams that are facing each other that desperately need wins. We're going to dive into that, talk about your teams, your quarterbacks, your star players next on Speed. Welcome back, family. Mind-blowing stat for you to make you sound super smart. 7 teams last year started 0-2. Of those seven teams, none made the playoffs. Furthermore, teams to start 0-2 over the last 20 seasons, you have a 9.6% chance of making the playoffs, which brings us to the 0-1 matchups of the weekend. There are several of them. We're going to take a look at them and talk about what team needs to win more. Starting with the Dallas Cowboys, America's team, they're 0-1. Cincinnati Bengals, they're 0-1. I got to go to you, Shady. Who needs to win more, Cowboys, Bengals?
I'm going to say the Bengals, man. They got all-world Joe Burrow. Everybody loves to talk about him, right? I think he's a good quarterback. Went to the Super Bowl. Well, we got to see it, brother.
Got to see it.
I don't know if it's make-believe or what.
Got to see it.
We got to see him do it again.
George, who needs to win more?
Let's get a win.
Got to see him do it again.
You can't say Joe Burrow's name without going like this.
Like four picks.
Here you go. The Cowboys need it more. Yes, the Bengals obviously don't want to go 0-2, but 9.6%? So you're saying there's a chance. It's Dallas has to steal these wins while Dak Prescott is out. It's absolutely a bigger game for Dallas and worse if they lose.
Who would you rather dig out of an 0-2 hole with? What the Bengals are bringing to the table or what the Cowboys are bringing without Dak Prescott?
That's a very, very, very good point. Both of these teams actually desperately need wins, but I understand where y'all are coming from. However, I'm riding with my dog. 2-5. I think the Bengals need it more. Moving on to the Raiders and the Cardinals. The Raiders, they dropped their opener to the Chargers, and the Cardinals had no answer for the Chiefs. So it comes down to the 0-1 Raiders, 0-1 Cardinals. Shady, who needs that win more?
The AFC West is so hard, so strong, they can't get behind too much. So
that's real.
They got to get a win, man.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. The Raiders, every single weekend is a playoff game for that division. And I think the Cardinals, were forgetting D-Hop's not out there.
Right.
It really might not be a playoff season.
Agreed.
I mean, clean sweep. But, yeah, I mean, again, we watched the Chiefs and Chargers last night. That's what you got to contend against. Yeah. Have fun starting 0-2 in that division.
Yeah, Raiders desperately need a win.
Let's go, Raiders.
The Denver Broncos didn't get a win last week. The Chiefs look good. The Chargers... moving on. Rams, home opener. It was ruined by the Buffalo Bills. Me and Shady, we was there. It would not look pretty for the Rams. And they got the Falcons. Falcons 0-1, Rams 0-1. That's Sunday on Fox. We all would agree that the Rams need to win more. But, Shady, I'm going to take it a step further.
Okay.
Is this game a must-win for the Rams?
It's a must-win. Not only because you're the defending champs, but any team. Come here, the home opener, get punched in your mouth. Not once, not twice, three times. Boom. You got to respond, man. And you had to wait all from Thursday all the way down to Sunday. Yeah, they got to get a win.
Yeah, at that point also, you've had extra time to prepare for the Falcons. It's a must-win game for the Rams, for sure.
I don't think so. Mainly just because the Rams play in the NFC. There's more margin for error there. I mean, like, sure, you got the Bucs. We think that the Packers and Vikings are probably going to be pretty good teams, but, like, it's not as loaded as the AFC.
But, Dave, break this down for me, because if you're the Rams and you went to the Super Bowl last year, you got better. It's not like the Bengals, whose offensive line is still trying to figure things out. If you're the Rams, you got better. You got Bobby Wagner. Aaron Donald decided to come back. Allen Robinson, in theory, is still a talented receiver. You got better. Don't you think the Rams, at least from an internal psyche perspective, need to get it done?
I hope a team that's been in the playoffs that often is mentally stronger than that. Like, they've got guys that should know how this goes. And really, all of this stuff that happens the first 10 weeks is just an appetizer for December and January football. So I'm keeping that in mind if I'm the Rams. I'm like, we need to be playing good football 2-3 months from now. If we take some time to get it sorted out, I'm not freaking out about it.
Fascinating stat. Sean McVay has lost back-to-back games in every season he's been a head coach. When he loses one, there's typically another one to follow. Mm. Joy, how do you feel about the Rams if they do lose this game? You freaking out or are you just like, 0-2, it happens?
I have a lot of faith in Sean McVay, and Dave does make a good point about the NFC, but you are coming off of a Super Bowl win. You don't want to let things, especially NFC games, just linger and continue to build this momentum. I got faith in Matthew Stafford. I got faith in McVay, but you don't want to go 0-2 and lose to the Falcons with Marcus Mariota with extra time.
I love it. A lot of big-time games, a lot of 0-1 teams that got to find a way to win. Coming up, we got some family business to take care of right here at the Big Board. Family, y'all be back. Handle this business with us. We'll see you shortly. Speak. Don't go anywhere. Now, look, y'all, it's time to take care of some family business. Last night, us three watched the game together. We was kicking it, eating wings and whatnot.
Us three.
You see, but there's clearly one glaring omission, Joy. You got to explain yourself. You got the call. You got
the invite. Los Angeles, you text me 20 minutes to be across town. You live 45 minutes from me. It's rush hour.
You do live in the hills.
But I texted her, didn't I?
I got a spaceship. I drive a Tesla, not a spaceship.
But I texted you, though.
That's a bad picture,
though. And we 15 minutes before the game started.
I do look good, though.
We're going to handle it next week. That's it for us. Have a great weekend, y'all.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.